Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
All right, welcome to Spirit of God Worldwide, Wednesday night. Tonight, we're going to try an experiment. We're going to try to all worship together and see if we can enter in to the presence of the Lord. So we're going to start out, first of all, with communion to get our any junk that's on us off of us so that we can worship God in the Spirit, because God wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we want to go right into the veil, and before we do that, just I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here. Recently, Holly and Lori have been focusing on the fact that we need to be in the Word more, especially during these times. We need to be know the Word so that the Holy Spirit can use us whenever He needs to. And this is a time, such a time as this, this is a time where we need to get in to the secret place of the Most High. It says that we can go into the secret place and in Psalm 91. So I'm going to read to you from a verse that I really have gotten a download from the Holy Spirit in the past year, and it's Hebrews 10:10 through 24, and it deals with our condition. All of us were sinners before we came to Jesus, and we still fall. You know, the whole world was condemned under the fall of Adam. Even where we were born into sin. So we needed somebody to help us, and it couldn't be ourselves. It couldn't be, no matter how righteous we were, that could not get us saved. So God had to send Jesus to the earth, the perfect Lamb of God, to substitute for the bulls and the animal sacrifices that they did in the Old Testament. He needed a real man. And he needed a perfect man. And so Jesus said yes, so that we could all be saved. And it's not by anything that we've done. It's all by his grace and his mercy that we're saved. Amen. Right? So I just want to read you this passage from Hebrews 10 through 24. For God's will was to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. And I want to say this too, that he offered that sacrifice for all men, because God wills that no one perish. So for all humanity, for all time, Jesus' sacrifice was good enough. So there is not a sin so dark in your life that he hasn't been able to cover. So we need to understand that and agree with that when we're dealing with communion, when we're dealing with the enemy's fiery darts that want to condemn us for our old way, our old nature. And a lot of times, our old nature is the thing that prevents us from seeing who we really are in our new man, in our new nature. When God said yes, when we said yes to him, we became a new creation, born again, born anew, and that is not corrupt. That nature is not corrupt. It's the real deal, and we need to align with that. So my friend Andrew Womack tells me that we are one-third Holy Ghost, one-third perfect, pure, no matter what we did in the past. So we need to shift our identity to that, to our new nature, and walk in our new nature, not our old nature. So when we want to go into his presence, we want to shift from who we think we are, the old man that died, actually. We died when we got baptized. We died to our sin nature, and we rose to the new man, okay? And this verse really helped me to understand that, so I want to read this to you. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. That's a powerful verse. He forever made perfect those who are being made holy. So we're in a process. You know, we're not there yet. We're in a process of transformation. We're spirit, soul, and body. Okay, we're complicated. As human beings, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. We're complicated creatures. And we struggle, you know, in our soulish man, because our soul is a mind, will, and emotions. That's where we struggle. That's where the battle is. You know, our new nature is totally clean and pure before God, but we have to renew our mind and our thinking and our emotions to align with who we are in the new nature. So that's where he's saying, for by that one offering he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. So understand, until we go home, finally, we're still in a process. But we can get better than we were 10 years ago. Our soulish man, our mind, will, and emotions can get in a better place as we conform to his plan, his new nature of the Holy Spirit that lives within each of us. So, and the Holy Spirit also testifies this, for he says, "This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he says, "I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds." Amen. Isn't that good news? I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. God chose to do that through his son, Jesus. So we should not be about trying to dig up that old stuff, you know, or listen to the fiery darts and the condemning voice of the enemy when he says, "You can't go into the holy place. Look at you're a mess." Well, yeah, you're a mess in your soulish man, but you're not in your spirit man. You're pure and holy. God did not make imperfection when he said, "You're new." You know, you're a new creation. So, and when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and giving way through the curtain, and he's the curtain. Now, in the New Testament, we can go straight in. Before, it was only the priests that could go in for the whole nation. But now each one of us can go straight in. So it's a better covenant. It's the good news. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. The one thing I like about this ministry that I never heard anywhere else was we can actually go into the holy place before we die. So that's kind of radical that you could dare to think that that's possible, but we can. That's possible. Jesus made that possible. So maybe as you learn it, sometimes you get into the presence. How many of you have ever been into his presence before? Okay, so you have been, most of you have been in a place where you're sensing something different than this earth, right? You got somewhere beyond it. So we can get into his presence, but we can also get into the heavenly realms. We can go to the heavenly realms, and what my hope is tonight is that we're going to worship corporately. This is another way to get into the holy realms, is corporately. When we worship tonight, let's try to put a draw on the Holy Spirit's presence so that we can actually shift from this world into his presence. And what we need to do first, and that's why we're doing this, we're going to take communion first. So I'm going to say a prayer for communion, and then I need my two communion people, volunteers, to come up. We're going to have it over there, right at that table. So let's pray right now and seek God's face. So thank you, Jesus, so much for the sacrifice that you made. You chose to do this. The Romans, the Jews, they didn't take it from you. You chose to do this. You said, I'm going to obey my Father because of love, because of his love and because of who he is. I'm going to bring a people into heaven that can share as a family with you, God. And he did that sacrifice for each of us. So as you're meditating right now, if the Holy Spirit is pointing his finger at anything that the enemy is trying to condemn you for, repent of it. Ask forgiveness for it. And understand that his blood cleanses every sin for all time. So repent of that sin before you go up and take communion. So we're going to, his blood, his body and his blood were shed for the remission of all our sins. And understand that that's for tonight as well. So that we can go into God's presence with a pure heart, forgiven. That's why we have communion, to take care of that that soulish man in our foibles, in our mistakes. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. So let's go in right now as you're ready. Communion will be up there. Mary and Dave will be giving the communion. So meditate for a little while first. So I'm kind of patterning this evening after what my small group does at our house every other Thursday night. And what we like to do is we like to worship first, and then from the worship we like to then go in, and from communion we like to go in and worship. And in that worship we like to try to make God happy. There's a way for us humanoids to actually make God happy. And I believe it's through praise, thanksgiving, and worship. So I'm hoping that each of us could, in your way, however you feel comfortable. In this environment, people can lay down on the floor, they can stand up, they can sit down. However you want to worship the Lord is totally open and free to you. So there was a situation this year around January, and I know life has been kind of rough since COVID for a lot of people, you know, including Christians, you know, including me. And I wanted to get to a place where I would be able to be at peace. So I started, I used to read all sorts of different passages from the Bible, but at this point I said, you know what, I want to learn how to stay in steadfast, immovable peace, Lord. Teach me. So I asked the Holy Spirit what I should read in the morning. So I would speak in my prayer language, and then he would give me a verse. And then I'd read that verse. And then I'd wait, and I'd ask him again, and he'd give me another verse. And a lot of those verses have become rhema words for me. Rhema, for those of you who aren't sure, you have logos, that is the written word, and then rhema is a word that's mixed with the Holy Spirit. And when you get a rhema word, that stays with you. I mean, it energizes you. It's part of who you are, because the word is alive. The word becomes alive when we start to read it like that. And this is a time where we really need to be in the word. So these two psalms were given to me that I want to share with you. So as you try to enter in tonight into his presence, hopefully these two psalms will be psalms that will encourage you to go straight in through the veil, Jesus being the veil, the curtain. Open up. You can go straight in and worship him. And I'm thinking, you know, collectively is great too. It's great to be with the Lord individually on your own and have your own soaking space, your own place where you meet him, your own place of quiet rest, but it's good corporately too. And I'm hoping that everybody in this room could enter in to his presence tonight. So think about that. In this first session, we're going to do two sessions. This first session, we're going to try to have the theme be loving on him. So when you're worshiping, just try to love on him tonight. Show him how, you know, ask him. If you're not sure how to do that, ask the Holy Spirit, help me to know you. Help me to get to know you more intimately. Help me to love on you. We want to make you smile, God. We want to make you happy. So if you'll all join me on that, let's go on this journey together. And I'm going to ask, first of all, I'm going to read these two psalms, and the worship team will come up, and then we'll try to enter in to that place. So this, to me, is the psalm of the day, Psalm 91. Most of you are probably familiar with this, but I'm going to read it to you again in the light that I was explaining. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So we want to live in his shelter. We want to go to his shelter tonight of the Most High. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor of the arrow that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes in midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Lord Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be there with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. So that's Psalm 91. Psalm 27, I just want to read a couple verses from, because it's saying similarly the same thing. David's asking, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when troubles come. He will hide me in his sanctuary. So as we soak tonight, this is called soaking in the Spirit. This is called laboring to rest. These are disciplines that we can do to enter in. Let's enter in with the idea that we want to make the Lord happy and love on him. So worship team, if you could come up for a bit. So as we worship, give it a shot, you know, to try to love on him and expect that he's going to show up, because God inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits the praises of his people. So that means he's going to come right in. He's going to join us tonight. So enjoy this time. Feel free, by the way, if you have a prayer language that you're comfortable singing in, feel free to sing in it once you pick up on the melody. Or if you hear a song that you know, feel free to sing that song along with us. And if you're not comfortable with that, you can just la 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 along the melody. La 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 shana tata hayaka tata, and pretty soon you might be singing in your prayer language without even realizing it. So we like to do experiments here, and it's a free place to practice things. So if you have been baptized by the Holy Spirit, or you want to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, you can ask God right now to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Baptize me, Lord, in the Holy Spirit. Help me to forget my prayer language, so I can sing to you. So we did the presence. I hope some of you got in. If you haven't yet, one thing that Holly said at the last retreat that I thought was so beautiful is Jesus is here in the room right now. He's in all of us. And he would like to hug each one of you. Please allow him to wrap his arms around your heart right now, to wrap his arms around you and give you a big hug. And let's just sit here for a while in silence and feel that embrace. Love him back in Jesus' name. We'll be quiet for a moment so that you can enter into this. So this is an example of entering in. This is an example of laboring to rest. And we all need to take time, that spiritual discipline, on our own, in our quiet place, in our secret place, wherever that is, whether it's on a couch, whether it's on a chair, whether it's outside, whether it's in a tree, wherever your special place is. We need to start developing that daily entering in and spending time and laboring to rest so he can speak to us and so he can comfort us and give us everything we need. Okay? And us give him everything he would like from our praise and our love. So I was thinking when we were entering in there that there's some verses that God gave me from Ephesians. You know, a lot of people think that their salvation is just fire insurance, that it's just going to save you from hell and that there's no getting into heaven until we die. But that's not true. He wants us there. He wants us in that secret place, the Most High. He wants to embrace us. He wants to hug us and love on us and care for us and renew our minds, okay? The other discipline that God brought up to me was we need, because our soulish man still isn't perfected yet, we do need to renew our minds. The battlefield is in the mind. And a lot of times the enemy is attacking through circumstances. You know, what's the circumstance I'm struggling with now? We all have circumstances that come at us. So we need to renew our minds through the Word. We need to get the Word inside of us and speak to the mountain, speak to the circumstance. If you have a health issue, you speak to that. We have authority. God has given us tremendous authority and we're not taking it, or we don't know, or we've never been taught how to take it. But we have a dead raising power in us. We can raise people from the dead. That's the kind of, and it doesn't have to be your gift because it's just given you. That's already been given you when you said yes to Jesus. We can cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the demons. We have that kind of power. And so we got to go to the Holy Spirit and say, okay, show me this. show me this. I know I want to switch identities from who I was before I was a Christian into who I am now in the new nature, which is perfect and powerful in the Lord. Receive that, that you are powerful in the Lord, and that you can even speak to your own mountains of health issues. You can tell that thing to leave. You know, I'm telling my body now, because I was in a car accident, and I didn't know that I'd ever be able to climb a mountain again, but I was able to the last 2 years, and I'm hoping to this year too. And I'm declaring that I'm already healed. Have you ever looked at it that way? Try, if you haven't looked at it that way, you already were healed, because Jesus took the 39 stripes. That healing is there for you. Now, if you don't know that, or if you're not believing in that, well, then it's not there for you. But we can believe in that. We can believe and stand on that, regardless of what the symptoms are. So if you're struggling with a symptom right now, or if you're struggling with, you know, like oppression or depression, whatever the enemy's trying to throw at you, financial issues, whatever, we can speak to that mountain, just like he taught us, you know, in Mark 11, speak to the mountain and it will be cast to the sea. You have that kind of power. And unless we start wielding it, we're never going to know that. We got to take a risk and start going, do I have that kind of power? Well, check it out. You know, start operating in it. Start speaking to the mountain. You know, you're speaking to the actual mountain. You're not going, oh God, please heal me. Leg, be well. Nerve damage, be gone. Health, come back. Get me up another mountain. I'm going to go up another mountain, and you just determine that it's going to happen, and you will see miracles happen. And if you have to stand on that for a while, it's okay. You stand on your healing. I'm healed. Believe it. Receive it. And reach and grab it, whatever you're struggling with right now. I would like to encourage you tonight, make that paradigm shift to your new nature, to the authority and power you have within you right now. Go for it. Okay, that's my challenge to all of you. And the disciplines that it's going to take to get there, spending quality time, falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with God, getting acquainted and making the Holy Spirit your best friend. How do you do that? Practice. Discipline. You know, if you're building muscles, you got to lift weights. This is spiritual muscle building. You know, go ahead, carve out that secret, that special time each day, you know, and start getting acquainted and making the Holy Spirit your best friend, making Jesus your best friend before you go home to heaven. It can happen here, right now. You make an advanced decision, you go after it. So I just want to read you these two verses, and I would like you to, we'd like to do experiments and practice and stuff. I never used to be able to speak like this until Holly and Lori told me, stand and deliver. Don't sit there and get caught up in your notes. Once the Spirit gives you a couple things to go on, you can just keep hearing his voice and keep delivering it. And so I'm happy to say that I overcame that, fleshy stuff. And I'm allowing the Spirit to speak through me. So we can do the same thing in taking charge of your mountain, whatever it may be, tonight. And before, we're going to go back into, after I read a couple of these verses from Ephesians, because I don't know, how many of you have ever asked the Holy Spirit something and he gave you an answer? A couple of you. If you haven't had a chance to do that, that's another challenge I'm going to give to you. We need to start asking the Holy Spirit questions every day with all decisions, with every obstacle that comes. How do I deal with this, Holy Spirit? What do I do? And then sit there and wait. He will find a way to answer answer those questions. He will find a way to get you your breakthrough. But we have to get out of this self-reliance, fleshy stuff, thinking we're so tough and so strong and can do it on our own. We're not. You know, we can do some things on our own, but to really get victory, we're going to have to dig in and co-labor with the Holy Spirit, co-labor with Jesus Christ. Then mountains will move. Then things will change. And so it's no longer all your schooling, all your good works, this, that, and the other, all the, you know, things that you think you can do. It's, I surrender, Jesus. I don't have this one. I'm going to give it to you. You move this mountain. You topple down the stronghold, whatever it may be in your life. And so, after I read these couple of verses from Ephesians, I would like to challenge you guys tonight to go there when we're singing, because a lot of times, you know, it says to enter his gates with praise and thanksgiving. That's how we get in. We get into the veil. We go through the veil by praise and thanksgiving. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And that includes going into the secret place now, into the veil, going through the veil. We need to go through Jesus and then let the Holy Spirit take us around in the heavenly realms. The Holy Spirit will show you heavenly things that your imagination couldn't even dream up if you're willing to go take that journey, if you're willing to take that risk. So let me turn to that one. I don't want to get too caught up on my notes, but I do have this verse that I wrote down, so I need to find that. Let's see. All right. Ephesians 1 through 3 tells us the riches that we have in our salvation, the riches we have once we became born again. So I'm going to read you two verses. Be patient, bear with me, because I think these are significant. So God's purpose, this is from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 through 21. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in his rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into his presence. That's today, not when you die. We can come boldly and confidently into his presence. You want to walk into his presence? I do. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. And this is Paul speaking. I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honored. When I think of this, I fall to my knees and pray to my Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. And I don't know about you, but I can think pretty way out there. But he accomplishes infinitely more. And we can't limit him by our weak fleshly mind or by our, you know, like our sense, our carnal senses. We got to go beyond our carnal senses to the living word of God and to what he says, and stand on that through every battle, through everything you're dealing with. And then just real quickly here in Ephesians 1, 3, 2, 3, all praise to the Father, our God, Jesus, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided to advance, to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. So we're going to go ahead and believe these words instead of our carnal understanding. Most of us get stuck in carnality, and carnality isn't necessarily a sin, but it's not going to get you into the heavenly realms, because carnal is just your senses, what you perceive with your eyes, ears, taste, touch. But there are spiritual dimensions to our senses, which are deeper, which are greater, which are farther, that we need to start going out, launching out, and start experimenting with. So this is the exercise for tonight. We're going to go back in for a little while into worship. But this time, when we go into worship, I'd like to challenge you to take your mountain along with you and start becoming a receiver. Okay? A lot of us are givers. Some of us have a hard time receiving, but the Lord is here tonight, and he wants to give you what you need. Okay, so bring that need, whatever it is, whether it's, financial, whether it's health-wise. Take one need and bring it in and ask and expect that God's going to deal with this and solve this issue. Believe it, okay? So let's do that and see what happens. I trust that many of you spoke to your mountain tonight. And if you spoke to your mountain and you claimed your healing that has already been done and is being done, then you're healed. Don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at symptoms. Speak to them until you reach your manifestation, your healing, your victory. Don't ever stop until it comes. Because the word is more powerful than our soulish, our soulish view of things. We have to shift our identity to our new nature. That's who we really are. Start getting familiar with who you are in your spirit, man, and start operating from that place. And you will see your miracles. You will see your victory in your life. The other thing is when the fiery darts come flying at you from the enemy, because he doesn't like what's going on, when they come at you, you resist them with the shield of faith. Belt of truth, shoes of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. We got to put our armor on. Sometimes it's a battle. The real battle is in the mind, so we need to be renewed. We renew your mind in Christ Jesus through his word. Find a word, okay? One of my favorite words, just really fast, is Philippians 4, verse 8. Whatsoever things are true, honest, pure, lovely, of good report, think on these things. When the enemy's taking you down, shift. You got to shift it, okay? You got to renew your mind. And you can't sit there and be bugged by your feelings. You get up in the morning and you're bummed out. Tell your feelings how to feel. We have that authority over our own feelings. We can say, no, it's going to be a great day. In fact, look at all I'm blessed with. Wow. Every day is a blessing. This day is a blessing. And whatever you walked in with that's negative can get lost. You can speak to that dark side or whatever that's attacking you, you can get angry at it and you can tell it to leave. That's one place anger is okay. Amen. Okay? You speak to that vile thing and tell it to go. You have authority over that. If you don't think you do, then you probably don't. We have to start changing our thinking. We got to operate from our spirit man. And so that's my other challenge. Don't let the enemy take you down by feelings and negative thoughts anymore. You don't have to tolerate that. I don't either. I'm speaking to myself too, because I'm in a battle too. We've all got something. But we don't have to sit there and not be victorious. God is the victor, and so are we, because God is in us. Jesus is in we have the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ needs to operate through the spirit man and the word. If you put those two together, you're going to meet with your victory no matter what it is. There's nothing too hard for God. Nothing. Your situation isn't too hard for the God that created universes. We got to believe that. So I just want to bless you all tonight. I hope you walk out with something that maybe you've never thought about before or tried. And let's just keep growing together. Challenge each other. You know, iron sharpens iron. Let's try something new. If what's working for you is not working for you, let's try something different. So be blessed.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. You can download more messages at our store from Spirit of God. worldwide.com.